News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Navjot Singh Sidhu on Tuesday resigned as the chief of the Punjab Pradesh Congress Committee, plunging the party into a fresh crisis just months ahead of the assembly elections in the state. Sidhu quit the post shortly after the allocation of portfolios to the members of the new state cabinet. In a letter to Congress President Sonia Gandhi, he said he will continue to serve the party. Sidhu had taken over as the state party chief in July amid a leadership tussle with Amrinder Singh, who stepped down as CM 10 days ago while accusing the party high command of humiliating him. The cricketer-turned-politician didn't elaborate why he has quit. The collapse of a man's character stems from the compromise corner. I can never compromise on Punjab's future and the agenda for the welfare of Punjab, Sidhu said in his letter to Sonia Gandhi. Therefore, I hereby resign as the president of the Punjab Pradesh Congress Committee. Will continue to serve the Congress, he wrote. Amrinder Singh, who had called Sidhu dangerous and anti-national and said he will pit a strong candidate against him to ensure that he doesn't become the chief minister, was quick to react. I told you so. He is not a stable man, not fit for the border state of Punjab, the former CM tweeted. The abrupt resignation took place on a day Amrinder Singh was headed for Delhi. Singh's travel plan had triggered speculation that he might meet some BJP leaders. His media aide, however, said the Congress veteran had come to the capital on a personal visit and will vacate Kapurthala House, where the Punjab CM stays, during trips to Delhi. Sidhu's resignation has also prompted speculation over the next move of the politician who was with the BJP before he joined the Congress. In Delhi, the Aam Aadmi Party claimed that Sidhu resigned because a poor person was made the chief minister. Channi, who took charge last week, is the state's first scheduled caste chief minister. The opposition had, however, charged that he was being overshadowed by Sidhu, who they claimed would end up being the party face when the assembly elections are held. Former Jawaharlal Nehru University student leader Kanhaiya Kumar and Gujarat MLA Jignesh Mevani joined the Congress in the presence of party leader Rahul Gandhi at the AICC headquarters in New Delhi on Tuesday. Kanhaiya and Jignesh Mevani met Rahul Gandhi earlier in the day at Shahid-e-Azam Bhagat Singh Park at ITO in Delhi on the 114th birth anniversary of freedom fighter Bhagat Singh. Kanhaiya Kumar was a member of the Communist Party of India National Executive, a top decision-making body of the party, while Mevani is an independent MLA from the Vadgam constituency in Gujarat and convener of Rashtriya Dalit Adhikar Manch. The former JNU student leader also contested against Union Minister Giriraj Singh in Bihar's Begusarai Lok Sabha seat in the 2019 general elections. Since then, he has maintained a low profile. On the other hand, Mevani had won from the reserved Vadgam Assembly seat in the 2017 Gujarat Assembly polls. Congress did not field its candidate against Mevani in the Vadgam constituency. Earlier, Congress sources had said that some more young leaders would join the party in the coming days. They said that Kumar and Mevani could be part of a campaign to connect with the youth against the BJP-led government. Earlier this year, Jitin Prasada and Sushmita Dev resigned from the primary membership of Congress. Prasada joined the BJP and is now a minister in the Uttar Pradesh government, while Dev became a part of the Trinamool Congress and has been elected unopposed to the Rajya Sabha from West Bengal. The Delhi Pollution Control Committee on Tuesday ordered a complete ban on the sale and bursting of firecrackers in the national capital till January 1, 2022. Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal had announced a ban on firecrackers on September 15, saying it was essential to save lives. According to the DPCC order, several experts have indicated a possibility of another surge of the pandemic, and large-scale celebrations by bursting of firecrackers will result not only in agglomeration of people in violation of social distancing norms, but also a high level of air pollution leading to serious health issues in Delhi. The bursting of firecrackers under the prevalent pandemic crisis is not favorable for the cause of larger community health, given the significant relationship between air pollution and respiratory infections, it said. There will be a complete ban on bursting and sale of all kinds of firecrackers up to 1/1/2022 in the territory of NCT of Delhi's, the DPCC's order stated. The pollution control body has asked district magistrates and deputy commissioners of police to implement the directions and submit daily action taken reports to it. A few days ago, Delhi suggested its surrounding states to shift their public transport vehicles in the national capital region to CNG and adopt a policy to promote electric vehicles. It had also urged the neighboring states to emulate Delhi and ban firecrackers to tackle pollution. Last year, the National Green Tribunal had imposed a total ban on the sale or use of all kinds of firecrackers in the National Capital Region from November 9 midnight to November 30 midnight, saying celebration by crackers is for happiness and not to celebrate deaths and diseases. However, the city had recorded an overall air quality index of 414, which falls in the severe category, the day after Diwali, with people flouting the ban with impunity. The top US military officer called the 20-year war in Afghanistan a strategic failure and acknowledged to Congress on Tuesday that he had favored keeping several thousand troops in the country to prevent a collapse of the US-supported Kabul government and a rapid takeover by the Taliban. Republicans on the Senate Armed Services Committee pointed to the testimony by General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as evidence that President Joe Biden had been untruthful when, in a television interview last month, he suggested the military had not urged him to keep troops in Afghanistan. Milley refused to say what advice he gave Biden last spring when Biden was considering whether to comply with an agreement the Trump administration had made with the Taliban to reduce the American troop presence to zero by May 2021, ending a U.S. war that began in October 2001. Testifying alongside Milley, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin also refused to reveal his advice to Biden. Milley told the committee when pressed that it had been his personal opinion that at least 2,500 U.S. troops were needed to guard against a collapse of the Kabul government and a return to Taliban rule. Defying U.S. intelligence assessments, the Afghan government and its U.S.-trained army collapsed in mid-August, allowing the Taliban, which had ruled the country from 1996 to 2001, to capture Kabul with what Milley described as a couple of hundred men on motorcycles without a shot being fired. That triggered a frantic U.S. effort to evacuate American civilians, Afghan allies, and others from Kabul airport. General Frank McKenzie, who, as head of Central Command, was overseeing U.S. troops in Afghanistan, said he shared Milley's view that keeping a residual force there could have kept the Kabul government intact. I recommended that we maintain 2,500 troops in Afghanistan, and I also recommended early in the fall of 2020 that we maintain 4,500 at that time. Those were my personal views, McKenzie said. I also had a view that the withdrawal of those forces would lead inevitably to the collapse of the Afghan military forces and eventually the Afghan government. The six-hour Senate hearing marked the start of what is likely to be an extended congressional review of the U.S. failures in Afghanistan. The length and depth of the hearing stood in contrast to years of limited congressional oversight of the war and the hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars it consumed. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe, and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.